Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's return for the second session with our brother in arm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'd like to still come back to this thought about teach us how to number our days. I said that this numbering is a numbering of our life, or the consideration of our life in a serious way, just because our life is short and brief, and there in this lovely, or this very touching psalm of Moses, the days of our years are 70, and of course of strength 80, but their pride in labor and is labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone and we fly away. Teach us then to number our days, that we may gain the heart of wisdom. Yesterday was another memorial. Or was it 2 days ago? Of a 8-year-old a young little sister. She was saved and even baptized. And you know, again, whether it's a 8-year-old, whether it's a 40-something, whether it's a 70, 80-something, moments like that just have a kind of a poignancy, and it really causes you to, at least causes me, or cause me to have repeated and deeper consideration of my years. Now, some of you who are younger may say, well, you're getting up there. Of course, yeah, I can understand you. I'm still young. I have a lot of time. Well, that's exactly my point. You don't have a lot of time. In fact, you don't know how much time you really have, brothers and sisters. You really don't. And the most sad thing would be that because we fail to number our days, we fail to measure our time, our life in this way, we become regretful. Regretful when we look back from our deathbed, let's say. And that need not happen. Brothers and sisters, that need not happen. Here, when it talks about the numbering of days, one would think about, in the case of Moses, and one would think about in the case of Paul. In the case of Moses, you do have, in chapter 11, it says what? By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be ill-treated with the people of God than to have the temporary enjoyment of sin. Verse 26, considering the reproach of the Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked away to the reward. Here you have two words. Number one, choosing. Choosing to be ill-treated with the people of God. Then another word, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. See, right here is someone who is numbering his days. With a certain kind of mindset, a certain kind of consideration about his whole life, what he's going to live for, how he was going to carry on. He decided, he chose. This is a deliberate, intentional choice and preference of his. Not because he had nothing else to do. He proactively chose to seek first the kingdom. He decided to be ill-treated with the people of God. He would not stay in the palace of Egypt. He would join God's people to be ill-treated. He decided that early on. He would not choose the temporary enjoyment of sin in Egypt, but he would rather live with the people of God. And then considering, he had this kind of a consideration. You know, the word means accounting, like you do some accounting, or esteeming. You do some estimates, you know, before you do a project, you estimate how much time, how much money, you budget so you can complete the project. So he esteemed, he regarded, he accounted the reproach of Christ. That means the suffering of Christ. And those who follow Christ, who are reproached for Christ's name. Moses chose, and he considered, even he thought about this, he considered this kind of reproach, this kind of suffering, this kind of reproach of the Christ of God, riches. He must be crazy. He considered that riches, greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. He had a totally different kind of system of valuation. What you and I would think would be treasures, he counted it as nothing. What we would think as reproach, he considered it a treasure and riches. And why? Because he looked away to the reward. There is a reward, brothers and sisters. There is a reward after this life, after this age. What will your reward be? Or do you look forward to that reward or not? I do. Many do. So I choose. So I chose. And to suffer the reproach of the Christ, that I may receive the reward in the kingdom. So this is Moses. This is Moses, okay? And then you have Paul. Paul, we know, was an accountant, right? He said in Philippians, what things were gains to me? All the things he attained to in Judaism. You read his resume. It is like, he was on the top. He had a bright future in Judaism. What things were gains to me, these I have counted as loss on account of Christ. But moreover, I also count all things to be loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse that I may gain Christ. So Paul, upon conversion, upon seeing the vision, he start counting. He start numbering his days. He start considering his whole life. And he made a decision. Not foolishly, not quickly, not lightly. No, he thought about it. He considered deeply and he counted. He did his estimation. He decided he would count all things as loss, as refuse, as dung, that he may gain Christ, that he would, it's not even giving up. It's like they are refuse. It's like Moses giving up. The only thing, reason you give up is because relative to what you want to gain, that's dung, that's refuse, that has no value. So he did that. And in his whole life, he ran this race to gain Christ, to even suffer the loss of all things on account of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, this is what is needed today. I am not here to try to just stir us up, right? The working saints up and tell you, you are so wonderful. We need you and go do something. You have to number your days. You have to seriously consider things before the Lord. You have to look at your life. This brief life of yours and mine that passed by very, very quickly. What are we here for? And then you do your estimates, you do your budgeting, you do your study, and you draw a conclusion. You make that judgment. I think I mentioned last time about Paul and 2 Corinthians 5, he did that. Then we say, no, my life is not for these things. My life is for that. I say again, brothers and sisters, I'm not telling you to quit your job. If the Lord should lead you to quit the job and serve the Lord full time, I'm going to say, praise the Lord. I'm going to say hallelujah. In fact, I hope the Lord's gracious work would be with some of you to do that. To do that. To give yourself to serve him and to suffer with him and for his kingdom. But for most of us, we still have a job. We still have families, we still have obligations. No, we need to live a normal life doing these things. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, we know deeply, assuredly, that we are not part of this world. We are different from the world. We do not love this world. We're not for this world. We're here to live unto the Lord. We're for him. We're here to serve him. The Israel people, when God, Jehovah, commissioned Moses to deal with Pharaoh so that his people can leave, multiple times Jehovah said, let my people go that they can go into the wilderness and serve me. And serve me. You know, Egypt is a picture of the usurping world, of the preoccupying world. Of course, there are sins, there are pleasures, there are things related to this world. The primary purpose of Pharaoh is to usurp God's people. That means to supplant them, to seize them, to keep them, to steal them, to pirate them. Can I use that word? so that these people of God cannot fulfill the purpose of God. They are God's people. They are to fulfill God's purpose on the earth. But the Pharaoh would use everything he could to keep, to usurp God's people there and to occupy them with work, with hard work, even eventually not to build bricks without straw, that they have to go and find stubble everywhere and make bricks to build Pharaoh's cities, to occupy them, to engross them, to possess them, God's people. And of course, Pharaoh is the picture of Satan himself, set up this whole cosmos, this whole world system that have many ages. And today we're only in one of those ages. You look back into the 60s, you say, whoa, what is going on there? Well, that's that age. And that's that world keeping and usurping and preoccupying people. Now we're in 2020 something. It's a different age. There's a whole set of different things preoccupying us, usurping us, engrossing us. I think that's a good word. So that we don't have time, we don't have energy, we have nothing to serve the Lord with. Dear brothers and sisters, we will fellowship more about so many areas of service, talk about caring for people. But the first thing is you have to make this decision. You have to draw this conclusion. Then you set up a life, a schedule of your daily life that is suitable, that is fitting to serving the Lord, to Him. The children of Israel left Egypt, so they have time now. You know, they're in the wilderness, they have time now. To do what? To serve God. Then, you have to budget. This is very practical. I want to be very practical. Budget your living, your time, your energy, your strength, very important, and your finances. Order your day, a fixed time every day, fixed time every week for the Lord. We mean business. Our energy, you know, if you spend your energy on so many things, you don't hardly have energy. Sometimes even you don't have the brain energy, not just the physical energy for the Lord. And of course, we always talk about budgeting even your finances to give to the Lord, and all this requires some time, some consideration, some ordering, some fellowship, you and your spouse, right? Dear, how should we live now? We make the decision to live to the Lord, to serve Him, to seek His kingdom first. Let's consider how we should spend our time, how we should spend our money, how should we spend our strength. So this is where Paul talk about offering our bodies, right? A living sacrifice. But that's general. to offer up your body a living sacrifice, you need to budget your body, your time, your energy. Well, now I like to take a kind of little turn here. To live this life, this consecrated life, this life is unto the Lord, for the church, for the local church, for the church life. We also need to make sure that we are supplied. We're supplied every day. Because this is not about a movement. This is not about a campaign. This is about a living, a life, a whole life. So I would just say this, these few things. You know, this is, you know, if you look at my plan, could you show that, brothers? Could you show that sample schedule again, please? For all of us. Yeah, look at this. You see? All this green. Remember, this is a sample. Okay, so this is not legal. You all have to do this in a good sense, right? I have on top here so-called morning revival time, a time with the Lord. A time with the Lord. Sometimes I don't like the term morning revival. It becomes kind of a, oh, morning revival. Did you do a morning revival? No. Did you spend time with the Lord? First thing. Okay? That is half an hour. I think I have here half an hour. Some more, some less. It depends on your situation. This can happen, right, even during your commute or before that. You're with the Lord. I like to even say something here that, brothers, please do not do morning revival anymore. Every day, spend time just privately, personally with the Lord. To be nourished, to be supplied, to be energized. What do? You call on the Lord. Now, you say, whoa, is it that simple? Yes, yes. You know, you remember Enosh, the third or fourth generation, right? Enosh. His name means what? A fragile and weak man or something like that. That's the meaning of Enosh. And it says men at that time began to call on the name of Jehovah. When we have this conviction of our frailty, of our fragility, I tell you, the only thing you can do is call on the Lord to take him as our strength, as our supply to live. It's another day. There's another week. How are you going to live? How are you going to face the day? You call on the Lord. We need a revival of calling on the Lord. Please don't do morning revival. Call on the Lord. Lord Jesus, I mean, call and call by yourself with the Lord. Contact him. You can do morning revival, but not contact him. You know, even you read the two pages in your book, but you didn't contact the Lord. That's no good. That didn't do you any good. And you do this first thing in the morning because that is the principle of tithing. The best time of your day belongs to him. Oh, this is so crucial to the working saints. You cannot sustain yourself. You cannot battle the world with the devil. You cannot live this life of consecration and of service Without the Lord as your strength, as your energy, as your power and supply. And we need to contact the Lord. Call on the Lord. Really enjoy him and really absorb him, really receive him as this daily abundant supply, the daily bread, using the word, just a few verses. This time in the Itero, there is some fresh speaking concerning prayer reading. You would think, oh, calling on the Lord, prayer reading, this is for the young people. Well, okay, aren't we the young people in 1 John, right? Young man, you are strong. The word of God abides in you. Let's be those young people who know how to take the word, who know how to pray the word, who know how to nourish themselves with the word of God. I'm very concerned that we open the morning holy word and we just do our thing. I don't even know we do our thing. You know, we carry that book with us or it's on our device, but we didn't really, really enjoy and absorb the Lord and the supply, the spiritual supply. And so you have no strength during the day. You have no strength. You have no energy. And the world just swallows you up. The things, the demands of the world just swallows you up. And when something comes along, you get knocked over. You cannot handle it. Temptation comes. You don't know how, you cannot resist it because there's no strength in you. There's no power. Yes, it starts there. And here, I have something more here. Every day, you know, I have a little time for Bible reading and ministry reading, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and even Saturday. Again, this is just a sample. I mean, everyone is different. But and even Lord's Day, there's a time to read the ministry. These days, we are very burdened to really help all the saints to get into the life studies. I know, thank the Lord, in Northern California, all the churches are now synchronized. Am I right? In your morning revival and also in your life study reading. I don't know what book you're in nowadays, but how good that is, you know. Two messages a week or whatever it is. You need that, brothers and sisters. You need to read the ministry. This ministry nourishes you, enlightens you, strengthens you. Just a paragraph there will carry your day. You carry your day, supplies you, energizes you, the word of God. So, You have to have a schedule for that. And then let me continue. Then you say all these yellow parts are work, right? They're work. Okay. Yes, they are your working saints. So these are work times, eight hours a day on the average. But do you know, brothers and sisters? And sisters, these are not work times. This is your daily life. 8 hours, waking hours, your daily life. Yes, you're working. Yes, you're doing a job. But the day is a Christian day. The day is the life of a believer. And that life, that living, should be an overcoming one, should be a spiritual one. So how do you do it? During your work, you call on the Lord. That's okay. Under your breath, you contact the Lord. You don't stop being one with the Lord. You can do that. Yes, you need to use your mind, your brain. You need to do very important projects, and you need to have conferences. You need to work things out in your company and all these kind of things. But you call on the Lord unceasingly. That's not a small thing. And then you what? You, when you have, you deal with anything sinful, anything that you offended the Lord in, anything that you have, you are wrong in, and that would be those things, or any even kind of a defilement that you touch. You deal with those things by confession. We talk a lot about confession of our sins. And by this kind of dealing, you will keep yourself in a state of being filled in spirit. You know that word in Ephesians 5, be filled in spirit. Actually, it means be being filled. That means it is a continual thing. You're not just filled, you know, like you go to the gas station, you pump the gas and you're filled with a full tank. No, you are being filled. You are being filled. That means constantly that you are being supplied with that. You're being fueled with that divine power, that divine strength, which is the grace of God. This is practical. If we say we're living to the Lord, that's how we live. So the day is not wasted. Again, sisters, you need to feed your children. You need to wash the clothes. You need to take them to doctors. You need to go to PTAs. Yes, all these are part of your duties in raising up these little children. And I'm very burdened for that, by the way. Tomorrow I'm going to speak a word in Irvine to all the parents about these things. You know, I told you about this 8-year-old who died. And that caused me to go back to the book of Mark to read about the Lord's attitude concerning the little children. Don't keep the children away. Let them come to me. He hold them in their arms. There's a lot to child raising for the Lord, for the kingdom, but that's not the subject today. But sisters, that's your work day. And your work day is also like that. Yes, we're busy and we have many, many responsibilities, but inwardly, we're with the Lord. And that is what? That is simply to practice to walk in the Spirit, to conduct ourselves, to behave ourselves according to the mingled Spirit. Now, is that just words in the Bible, in the New Testament, or are they really practices in our lives? And so we, by this way, we practice to live the Lord, to live Christ. And when there's opportunity, you will, the Lord will come out. You would say something about the Lord. All this is the daily life that we live. Then you have here, look at here, you have these various other, various meetings of the church, right? A prayer meeting, the Lord's table, the prophesying meeting, and so on and so forth. These things that you have all budgeted, that's why you come to those meetings. But these other things, not just these big the main meetings of the church, but these other parts of your life need to be ordered, numbered, presented. If we mean business to serve the Lord, then finally, last but not least, for sure, there are what? There are these times that we should need to set apart for the purpose of contacting people, to gain people. Oh, this is Too big a subject. You have to set up some time, right? Look, I have even here a little time on Lord's Day and maybe a little time on during the week. Then, you know, these white color boxes, all these are free time, quote, quote, free time. That means your time, right? You have things to do. You have to take care of your family. You have to many things. Again, this is but a sample. Could you scroll down, brother, again? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. That's good. So here it is. Sleep, 56 hours on the average. Waking hours, 112. Work hours, on the average, 40 hours. That means 36% of your waking hours. Eating time, right? About 16 hours in total, that occupies 14%. Commute time, 6% of your waking hours. And still, you can afford 19% or 20% of the time given to the Lord. And I call it free time, your time. There's still 25% of that waking time, waking hours. Well, you say this is too rigid, this is too legal, whatsoever. Well, I don't mean to impose this on anyone, but I am saying that as you number your days, that numbering really means what? Really means to budget. It really, really means to budget, to schedule your life so that you can carry on with a normal life and a normal service. Basically, today, brothers and sisters, is what I want to share with you, talk to you about. There's so much on gaining people, contacting people, but gaining them. There's so much about visiting people to shepherd them and teach them over time, cultivating people. There's so much to talk about in the groups, you know, how to be blended together, how to be mutual, how to have fellowship, and how to build up one another. And even concerning prophesying, concerning the Lord's table, concerning prayer, there's so many things that we can improve and cultivate. All these things need separate times. But remember this, this is all about our living a life of service to the Lord according to the God-ordained way, to meet, to build up our local churches, which is for the body of Christ, and also to what? To meet the Lord need, the Lord's need today in his recovery. You'll be a person that you don't have any title, you're not the elder, you don't need those things. You just organically, you're one with the Lord, and you are filled with the, you have the Spirit, and you're a vital person. You are just a supplier of life, in the a supplier of Christ in the church. And by doing this, you are kind of an operating member, right, in the body, so that the body can build up itself. Saints, this is God ordained. This is a meaningful life. This is a life with purpose. This is a life that is lived without regret. This is the life that was well-pleasing to the Lord and has a reward in view. I'm just so happy even to think about this. Aren't you? I stop here.
Amen, saints. Thank you, Brother Minoru. Thank you for this word. We would like to try with the rest of our time to do something a little bit different today and to give some of the working saints a chance to respond. I just feel that this word would be wonderful. We need some response. So as I put in the chat, we would like to ask if five saints, both brothers and sisters, in the 25 to 50 age range group would say something to respond to our Brother Minoru's word for perhaps one, no more than 2 minutes each. The AV brothers ask that if you would like to say something, please put the name of your device in the chat. That is just so that they know who to highlight. So I see it's wonderful. Church in San Jose has so many people doing a watch party. So if someone from the church in San Jose would like to speak, I believe that you can put in church in San Jose so that the AV brothers know to highlight you. So how about let's do that now. And I believe Brother David Huang would start. And then after that, I hope we could have at least four more to respond to our brother's word. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Minoru, for such a faithful and sobering word. You know, all of us, even unbelievers these days, they consider how to spend their time. You know, I've seen there's a chart you can buy that shows your life divided by week. And every single week is a cell. And people will color those cells depending on how their weeks have gone. And, you know, I, since I graduated the training, have tracked my time in 15-minute increments. And I fill it out in a schedule very similar to the one above. And one thing I've learned from doing that is if I don't consider how to spend my time beforehand, it's very easy for my time to be wasted, especially larger blocks of time. And also, it's very important to consider ahead of time, because if we don't spend this time to consider before the Lord and also with our spouse or whomever, we will not fall into any of these habits. It's very unlikely we will feel like reading the Bible, shepherding people, reading the ministry. We have to be ones like Moses and Paul who proactively choose to live such a life. And then after we make this choice on how to spend our time, our energy, our finances, we consider how to build the habits that enable us to live that life. And then after we do that, we have to continue to do that over and over again. You know, I can look back at how I've spent the time these 13 years. There's been very successful times. There's also been times where I've wasted a lot of time. And it's a fight. It's always a fight. And every new year, and sometimes even more frequently than that, I have to reconsider how I'm spending my time and how I'm spending my energy and to be exercised. Otherwise, the enemy is always trying to slowly waste my time and my energy and my finances. And hopefully that's not our experience at the end of our life. We don't feel like our life was wasted because the enemy just slowly occupied it. But we would be ones who consider really before the Lord and also with the ones important to us on how we want to live our life, what kind of life we want to have, and then how we can budget our time, energy, and finances for that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Is there a few more saints who would like to say something? We'll just spend a couple minutes to see.
Well, can I say something?
Amen.
I still would like to come to this little exposing and real problem that we all face when we talk about time. And that is the waste of time, right? In other words, not redeeming the time. We all got the same amount of time, the same. How come some people have more time for this and how come some people have more time for that? Because they are interested in those things. They earmark their time to do those things. But one thing is for sure. Today, a lot too much time is wasted on our devices, our electronic devices, especially our phone. It's really the world wide web. It is the world in the palm of your hands, ready, just there at the touch of a button. The whole world, whatever you want, whatever department you want from this cosmos, is there to please you, to pleasure you, and to waste your time. Do we really need so much time on Instagram and Facebook? I mean, I'm on neither, but so I don't know much about it. But is it really, I know, you know, business, you need to deal with that and this and that. I'm just talking about personally. You know, then you check out and all the things, you know what I'm talking about. Do we really need them? So many things are just the world, they're just the diluting our spirit and wasting our time and defiling our minds then another thing is news. Even news, brothers, can occupy our time. I wonder what Harry and Meghan, whatever the name is, how they're doing. I wonder how, do you know what I'm saying? The whole tabloid, the whole that whole world is can occupy hours of your time. And the other thing is sports. That can occupy your time. I mean, you can spend hours on that, on those things. What else? I mean, I don't know what else. They're just, the people who binge watch, right? You call them binge watch this or that thing, you know? And it's all in your device. And so I think just that alone would be serious redemption of time. Serious. And I don't think if we reduce or eliminate some of these things, we will die. You will die. Oh, I will die. No, you won't die. You know what? You'll be more healthy. I mean, how about even turn some of those time just to do some exercise? You'll be healthier. But no, you just in there. That becomes, sorry to say, more than a habit. It's an addiction. It's what it is. Let's call it what it is. It's an addiction. It makes you have, what do you call it? Endorphins. It makes your, I don't know those names. Makes you happy, whatever it is. Brothers and sisters, if I feel this is one area that we all need to fight, we all need to, if we mean business with the Lord. We lived, some of us older, for the longest time in our life without these things, and we're quite okay. We're not mental cases, you know? We're not hugely deprived of this or that. No. That's why I say unclutter. That's why I say simplify. That's why I say, you know, we don't need a lot of these things. But now we have become addicted to them, so we need the fix. You know, we need to get them every day. We don't even need a schedule. Any little hole of time, we will go there. You know, you don't need to schedule a time with your device. It's calling you. It's usurping. It's preoccupying. It's pirating our person, our existence, our energy, our time, which were all for the Lord, for God. All right, I'm too much. I better stop there. If we mean business, brothers and sisters, if we mean business, which I think we all do, give up the world Christ to obtain. My. He's your heart's very need. In the end, what counts? You know, nothing counts. In the end, it's the Christ that we gain. It's the Christ that we live. It's the Christ that we preach. It's the Christ that we dispense that have eternal value. Amen. Sorry, Ray.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Minoru. So perhaps because of time, we can end our session here. Just like to mention, our Brother Minoru gave us an assignment that I always take to heart every time he speaks to us. And I hope we also would take that to heart too. And that is, of course, he mentioned to go to those verses in 1 John 2:12 and 17, to pray read them, that we would own them, identify with them, and to ask the Lord to make me this for the church.
Amen.
So I hope we could take that along with the other things our brother mentioned. I really appreciate it. We need to spend some time, and we need the Lord to teach us to number our days.
Amen.
And that is a decision. May we be those like Moses and Paul who made those decisions, who made the choice to be ill-treated and accounted all things as loss. And this would practically manifest in the Lord leading us and how to budget our time so that we could be used for him and by him. Amen. So we like to mention that the final time for this term for the Working Saints Perfecting Training is in 2 Saturdays from now. That's November 19th. And so we could look forward to that time. And with that, if we didn't get a chance to fellowship, I hope around you, you will be able to have some prayer immediately after this. And with those around you, have a chance to fellowship what you heard today. We surely need each other's response and encouragement. Amen. So with that, I believe we can go, and we could see you in 2 weeks on November 19th. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.